Yes, our reading this evening is from Matthew, and chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, and it's Jesus speaking. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by everyone. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. When you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Heavenly Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father, your Heavenly Father, knows what you need before you even ask him. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also have forgiven those who sin against us. And do not allow us to be led into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you your sins. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. This is God's word to us. Amen.
Alan, thank you very much indeed. Opie, come up. It's good to... So excited to have you preaching tonight. Heavenly Father, just pray for this young man as he preaches. May we all be encouraged to pray more deeply in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ollie, what a wonderful testimony. Can you all hear me? Okay. What a wonderful testimony. And actually, having listened to Ollie's testimony, I wonder whether there is any need for a sermon tonight, because I think it says all that there is to be said. And in a sense, you know, everything I will say resonates so directly with your story, Ollie. It is an utter blessing to have been a part of that journey. May God bless you as you move into the next phase. Well, tonight we finish our series on the summer Sundays, and we finish with a question, this sort of Can I Believe series. And the question we finish with tonight is, can I believe that prayer works? And I thought I might start by recalling a story, some of you might have heard it, about a little boy who desperately wanted a bicycle. He wanted this for his birthday as a present. And like all self-respecting parents would do, they promptly asked him to pray to God for the bicycle. And so unperturbed, this little boy wondered and wondered how he would go about praying to God in a way that God would have no choice but to grant his request. Well, a few days later, as they went to church, he listened with rapt attention at the way the preacher prayed. Do you know, honestly, this might have been me, I guess, in a sense. And on getting home, the little boy prayed something in this manner. Loving Father, I want to thank you for the world and for its beauty, for the beauty that surrounds us. I pray for all the missionaries who are doing really important work in difficult circumstances. My need for a bicycle pales in comparison to the great work that they are doing. So I pray, O God, that in your infinite wisdom and in your own time, it may please you, if it is in accordance with your divine will and majesty, to provide me with a two-wheeled vehicle called a bicycle. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. In the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. So, he gets up the next day and walks out. Lo and behold, unfortunately, there is no bicycle. So he starts thinking, I wonder what I've done wrong here. Now, fortunately for him, he turned on the telly and there was a televangelist. And listening to him, the boy thought, wow, that's what I've done wrong. So I need to kind of change the way I pray. So he watched the way this guy prayed, and this time his prayer, the little boy's prayer, went something like this. Lord, I claim my bicycle. I call it from the ends of the earth, or even from the heavens. I declare and decree that wherever my bicycle is, it should come forth. And right now I see my bicycle. I see it wheeling its way through eternity right here to me. Anything in the way of my bicycle must now give way. I decree and declare again that my bicycle will arrive no later than 2:23 p.m. tomorrow. And I receive it in Jesus' name. It is done. Amen. But you know, he still wasn't sure that he had prayed well enough. So he thought, I need to do something. Now, the next day, his mum saw him looking rather pleased with himself. And when she inquired about why he looked so smug, he said, nothing, mum, but I'm sure that my bicycle will turn up this time tomorrow. Now, later that night, as his mum tucked the boy into bed, she noticed a note where the small statue of the Virgin Mary that was in the boy's room had been. And when she looked at the note, it went something like this. Now, Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again. This is just, thank you for your patience with that slightly long and tedious joke, but I think this boy's dilemma illustrates quite well some of the problems that we have with prayer. And before we look at what prayer is and perhaps why we might want to pray, let me say that I know of no other reason more cited by Christians for walking away from their faith than that of unanswered prayers. The feeling that God has not saved or answered when he could have, in fact, when we are convinced that he should have, is one that can challenge even the sincerest Christian. Only recently, I was speaking with someone whose child had died in very tragic circumstances. And they said to me, Opie, I'm so confused. I prayed and I prayed. And I don't understand why God did not stop this. A good friend of mine, a Christian, often says to me, Opie, I have no problem with God being all-knowing. What I struggle with is God being all-powerful while still not answering the prayers of Christians. Yet it is also true that I know of many who have received miraculous answers in their darkest hours of need. I know of those who have been snatched, as it were, from the very jaws of death when all else seemed to be lost. I myself have miraculously been saved by drowning on the beach as a little child, rescued, pulled from the beach by the hand of a man whose face I never saw and who seemed to vanish the minute I was back on shore. I have been personally healed of chronic stomach ulcer, and yet I have lived with a bad back for many years. You see, this question about whether we can believe that prayer works is not just an intellectual question. It is for most of us, perhaps even for all of us, an existential question. It is a question that is inseparably bound, in the human experiences of hope and suffering. And over the next few minutes, I want to look at this question through two primary lenses. Firstly, I will briefly consider the question of prayer through the lens of someone who is relatively new to the Christian faith, or who might be inquiring about the Christian faith. And then I will aim to briefly address some among us who have been traveling this road of faith for quite some time, but feel the pressure of this question, especially in the dark places of suffering. Of course, I know that I have neither sufficient time to be fair or wisdom to do either justice sufficiently, yet my prayer today is that God will take the little that we offer and multiply it for all of us today. So, let us begin. Well, for the person who is just inquiring about the Christian faith, or who is just starting their journey, it might be worth clearing up the first obvious question: what is prayer? Well, put simply, prayer is a conversation with God. Now, it is not lost on me that that is not a simple statement at all. A conversation with God. How do you go about having a conversation with God? Now imagine for a moment that you were invited to see the Queen. How might you prepare for the conversation you would have with Her Majesty? How would you choose what to say? I assume that there will be a long list of do's and don'ts that you would be informed of prior to your visit. Imagine also the excitement that will course through your veins as you made your way to the venue where you would meet with Her Majesty, perhaps at Buckingham Palace or elsewhere. Then imagine how you might feel after you've seen her and you've left. I suspect you would feel quite special, because you would have managed to achieve something that very few people would manage to achieve in their lives. Now, back to the definition of prayer. It is a conversation with God. I think part of the trouble with prayer, you see, is that we may not fully grasp the reverence, the absolute privilege of what it is and who it is that we are coming to in our time of prayer. It is no wonder then that the disciples approach Jesus and say to Jesus, "Jesus, if we are having a conversation with God, teach us how to pray." And Jesus begins his answer like this. He says, "When you pray, pray like this: Our Father." You see, prayer is not simply a conversation with God. But Christian prayer in particular is a conversation with our Father, your Father, and mine. This idea of fatherhood is one that is unique to the Christian faith. It is not found in Islam or in Buddhism or in Hinduism. Only in the Christian faith can we approach God as Father, and we as His children. And you and I can be sure that when we approach God as Father, we approach not a depraved Father, but a Father who has the best intentions for us. In Jeremiah, the prophet says, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So this conversation with God is not one that should overawe us, as it might do when we are invited to tea with the Queen. Rather, it is one that we approach with a conscious sense of the power and of the holiness, the grandeur of the God who invites us, yet with the confidence and the comfort and the assurance of a child that knows they are coming to loving Daddy. And why should we pray? Well, relationships thrive on communication. And one of the surest signs of problems in any relationship is when there is no communication. And in that sense, then, vibrant prayer is one of the surest signs that we are enjoying our relationship with God. Once our communication with God begins to decline, it becomes no surprise that the Christian faith becomes a struggle that we just have to trudge through. And so one reason that we must pray is that it enables us not simply to keep our commitments with Christ, but it enables us to keep that commitment relevant and fresh As we speak to God and converse with Him, our relationship with God becomes more vibrant because we discover Him in the place of prayer and He discovers us in that place of conversation. Jesus, therefore, often said to his followers that people should usually pray and not relent from prayer. But another reason for prayer is that it allows us to bring our requests and petitions to God. However, prayer is not simply about bringing this long list of demands to our Santa in the skies. True prayer is both mundane and transcendent, because in it, we discuss those things that matter to us. But we also discuss and discover those things that matter to God. We speak our hearts to God in prayer, but we must also wait for God to speak to us in that place of prayer. We speak, but we also wait and trust that we will listen. You might be wondering now, well, we've talked about what prayer is. We've talked about why we might pray. But is anyone actually listening when we pray? A few weeks ago, right in this church, Max Wigley in his talk, "Can I Believe That Jesus Is God and That He Died For Me?" looked at the evidence for who Jesus is. If you haven't listened to it, I would strongly encourage you to do that. And after careful examination of the evidence, we agreed, I think, we came to the conclusion that Jesus was a real human being who lived in this world, who was crucified and buried. For those of you who might be new to the Christian faith, none of this is disputed by any serious historians, whether they are Christians or not. All of that is accepted as fact, that Jesus was a true person who came to this world, who lived in this world, and who died. All of that is not disputed. The point of tension usually comes when we ask what happens next. Yet when we follow the trail, we find compelling evidence that not only did Jesus die, but that He rose again from the dead. And if Jesus rose from the dead, then we know we can believe what He says. We can have confidence in what He says. And when He says, "Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find," we know that He is listening because He said He would be. And there is much evidence in history, whether it is through the stories written in the Bible or through the stories of many individuals, some of whom were hostile to the Christian faith originally, or through the stories of many Christians. We have lots of examples of God bringing assistance in difficult situations, or indeed intervening and bringing revival and salvation to entire nations. The saint John Chrysostom said this about prayer: "The potency of prayer has subdued the strength of fire. It has bridled the rage of lions, hushed anarchy to rest. It has extinguished wars, appeased the elements, expelled demons, burst the chains of death, expanded the gates of heaven, assuaged diseases, repelled frauds, rescued cities from destruction. It has stayed the sun in its course and arrested the progress of the thunderbolt. Prayer is the root, the fountain, and the mother of a thousand blessings." And the great thing about prayer is that you can do it wherever you are. And so you might be asking, well, how then should I pray? Well, there are lots of helpful templates for prayer. And even in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us a framework for prayer. We begin by revering and worshiping God. We pray for others and we bring our own requests to Him. And while all of that is helpful, if you are just starting out, you can be sure that more importantly than following a routine is that Jesus just wants you to talk to Him. However it is you pray, just do it. To just put into words the thoughts on your heart and the concerns on your mind, however they might emanate, And at first it may feel awkward, like riding a bicycle for the first time. You might stumble a little bit here and there. But persist with it. Because when we do, we experience something of the divine. Something of the touch of the Almighty. Our time is far spent, but please permit me to spend a few minutes to address those among us who are struggling with this question of prayer in a real way. Perhaps because right now, where we are, we need very specific answers to very specific questions. Or maybe because we feel, in fact, like we've been let down because a prayer that we prayed didn't seem to be answered. Well, I shared earlier some of the miraculous answers to prayers that I have personally received. And I suspect that if I took a toll, many of us here might be able to point to times in our own lives when we have been sure that we have seen God come through for us through answered prayers. Yet I suspect that we can also all easily think of situations that seem to be resistant to prayer. Pain that is not alleviated. The healing that never came. The provision we desperately needed, or even right now need, that seems elusive. These things can seem only too familiar. Brothers and sisters, you see, I think often that our struggle with prayer is that it appears that God only sometimes answers it. If we never had any answers to prayers, we wouldn't bother to pray. If we always had answers to prayers, what we wanted, then we would be sure that it worked. But we ask these questions because we are caught somewhere in the middle, in the tension between knowing that God can and does intervene, but sometimes he just seems not to. And the truth really is that there is no simple answer as to why God seems to answer us in the way that we want sometimes for some prayers but not others. Especially when we can see very good reason why God should have answered. Now I know quite often that we might have heard that God sometimes says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait. That is true, and perhaps some people find that helpful, but I know sometimes I struggle with that. The good news is when we struggle, we find ourselves in good company, because the Bible is replete with people who have sought answers for God, answers from God, answers which seemed not to be forthcoming. However, the interesting thing is this, that whereas in our culture, we often ask, why have you not answered, O God? Most people in Scripture asked, how long, O God, before you answer? The difference is simple, but of great significance. You see, the question, how long, O God, or when will you answer, is one that recognizes that sometimes when we pray, we are also asked to hang on. It is a faith that recognizes that we are also called quite often to persevere through times of difficulty. And some have walked away from their faith because of this. G.K. Chesterton, he's reputed to have said, when belief in God becomes difficult, the tendency is to turn away from him. But in heaven's name, to what? Turning away from God, my dear brother or sister, because a prayer seems to have not been answered, doesn't make the pain any better. We cannot slaughter hope on the altar of despair. It only leads to an enveloping of despair. You see, Every deliverance we receive in this world is only temporary relief. We get healed from one sickness, delivered from one difficulty, only to find around the corner another waiting for us. The ultimate healing will come when God's kingdom is fully and finally established in eternity. You would know the words, I suspect, of Horatio Stafford's wonderful hymn. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, when the clouds will be rolled back like a scroll, the trump shall sound, and the Lord will descend. Finally, it shall be more true than ever before that it is well with my soul. But you see, in the meantime, our faithful perseverance in the face of clearly unanswered prayers, or prayers awaiting answers, can display our love and faith more than any words or gestures can. After all, it was ultimately through Jesus' own perseverance on that cross that God showed the depths of his own love towards us more than any other words might have done. The cross is at the very center of the Christian story, and I think in our unanswered prayers, we persevere with our own crosses in the knowledge that the day will come when we reach the heavenly shores and our prayers will find their fullest answers. And as the band make their way back, I want to finish by saying that if you have never experienced the power of prayer and you wish to today, be assured that God is here right now, and he wants to meet with you too. In a moment, I would like to encourage you to come forward, and there will be people available to pray with you. Likewise, if you have been asking, "How long, O Lord?" then please come forward in a moment as well. Because today might be your day. The answer for you to that temporary challenge might be today. Come forward. Because even if today is not the day, you will be equipped with strength to tarry a little longer. And if your faith has taken a knock from unanswered prayers, come along too. All are welcome. Jesus is here, and he answers prayers.